Grace, mercy, and God's peace be yours. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the Old Testament. I love the stories of the Old Testament. As many of you know, I do not think we can truly understand the New Testament or even Jesus Christ if we don't understand the Old Testament. And yet, as I've now been a pastor for almost 18 years, I've come to realize that approximately 80%, probably even closer to 90% of my sermons have been based on Bible passages from the New Testament. Only about 10% of my sermons, or about 5 sermons a year, have been based on the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, a lot of preachers rarely preach on the Old Testament, and I'm not unlike many of my colleagues. So believe it or not, in 18 years, or almost 18 years, I've taught a lot about the Ten Commandments and Confirmation, but I don't think I've ever preached on them. And knowing how much I love the Old Testament kind of surprised me to realize that fact. So today we have those Ten Commandments as our Old Testament lesson, so guess what we're going to talk about? The Ten Commandments, a lesson we should all know by heart. Now, each major personality in the Old Testament has a major theme. That is, each name in the Old Testament is pretty much synonymous with a certain emphasis or mental association. For example, Abraham is synonymous with faith. David with kingship in the Psalms, Solomon with wealth and Proverbs, Job with suffering, Isaiah with peace, Micah with justice, Ezra with the temple. So what's the major theme that is associated with Moses? When you think of Moses, what do you think of? When we think of Moses, do we think about the story of his birth, when all the Jewish boy babies under the age of 2 were killed, that Moses was put into a floating basket in the bulrushes and reeds of the Nile River? That is what the name Moses actually means, pulled from the bulrushes. Is that the major theme of Moses' life? Is it when he stood before the burning bush and heard the voice of God saying, "Take off your shoes, Moses, for you're standing on holy ground"? Or is the major theme in his life the 10 plagues, like the river into blood, the locusts, and the flies? Is Moses primarily remembered because of the Passover, when the angel of death passed over the houses of the Jews with the lamb on their doorpost, but killed each of the firstborn Egyptians in the houses without blood on the doors? What is the major theme of Moses' life? The parting of the Red Sea? The 40 years in the wilderness? Not being able to go in the Promised Land? Of course, believe it or not, none of those are the most defining moment in Moses' life. And what was the defining moment in Moses' life? The giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. There on Mount Sinai, Moses was given by God the Ten Commandments, the 10 words, as they're called in Scripture, that were given specifically to the people of Israel. In other words, the Ten Commandments are given to the faith community, the believers, to the people of the covenant. They are not given to the foreigners and to the pagan nations. While today we may argue that they are good rules to live by for all people, this was not the original intent or the original audience. The faith community received these 10 words as a means by which to understand their relationship with the Lord. If they were to walk with God, and if he was to live in their midst, then these words define how this can be a reality. Using Lutheran language, These are the third use of the law, sanctification, holy living. This is what those in the covenant do. This is how believers are to act. Yes, Mount Sinai and the giving of the Ten Commandments is the most defining moment in Moses' life. Therefore, what are these Ten Commandments? These 10 words that we, as people of faith, are supposed to live by. Now, it is true. Most Christians are aware of the number 10 of the Ten Commandments. But did you know that most Christians, the average Christian, can only recite or remember 3 of them? That's the average. So I'd like for you today to recite them with me. Please complete the following sentences and do it without reading your bulletin if you can. You shall have no other gods before me. Number 2, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, or misuse the name of the Lord your God, depending on which translation you learned it out of. Number 3, remember the Okay, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number 4, honor your father and mother. The only commandment with a blessing, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Number 5, you shall not kill, you shall not murder. Number 6, you shall not commit adultery. Number 7, you shall not steal. Number 8, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, or false testimony. Once again, depending on which way you learned it. Number 9, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And then number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. It is true that we have changed from version to version of the Bible, and so you memorize them a little bit different, and yet these commandments have not changed for the past 3,400 years. Why? Because human nature has not changed. During the past 3,400 years, there have been all kinds of changes to human beings. Civilizations have changed, knowledge has changed, medicine has changed, science and technology have changed, politics and political systems have changed, nations have changed, governments have changed. Perpetual change is the mark of human experience for 3,400 years of history. Meanwhile, with all of these changes going on, human nature has not changed. Today, all these years later, people still worship various gods in their life. Today, years later, people still swear and curse. Years later, people still don't find time to worship. Today, 3,400 years later, people still have problems honoring their parents. Today, people still murder, still commit adultery, still steal, still lie, still covet other people's spouses and property. Changes all around human beings, but human nature has not changed. People still need the Ten Commandments. We still need to know how to have a right relationship with God and with each other as much today as the people did way back then. It is true. Every century, generation, society, though, applies these 10 words differently to their particular time in history. Every century, every generation, every society needs to interpret these 10 commandments afresh in new ways that face all of those other changes. And so today, I'd like to briefly walk through the 10 commandments and see how they apply to our situation today. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, in Old Testament times, gods were often small statues, about 10 or 12 inches high, made out of wood or stone. Today in the 21st century, I pray that none of us has small pieces of wood or stone in our homes that we worship. Rather, for us, we realize that we modern human beings have other material gods. We have material possessions that we worship more than God, such as money, homes, cars, retirement accounts, bank accounts. Martin Luther said that our God was anything that we fear, love, and trust in above anything else. The second commandment: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Of course, the big one that's included with that is you shall not curse or swear. If you visited any middle school or high school recently, well, forget that. If you've been to any Walmart or grocery store recently, you know how filthy and dirty the language has become and how God's name and Jesus' name are regularly used and abused. People 3,400 years ago and still today have foul mouths that can spit out obscenities. Just watch a few movies or television shows and compare them to the language of films and TV 30 or 40 years ago. And you'll realize that the volume of filthy language has increased enormously. The third commandment: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you read the text for today, the third commandment from Exodus 20, you hear the biblical explanation of that commandment. There's to be no work on the Sabbath, including no work for a person's son, daughter, male servant, female servant, livestock, or even the sojourner, the visitor who is living with you. Now, of course, we have to ask, what day is the Sabbath referring to in the Old Testament? Saturday. Do you guys take Saturday off? And yet, for us Christians, does the word Sabbath refer to Saturday or Sunday? We say Sunday, of course. And then, of course, we have to say, do we own any livestock, donkeys or oxen? Do you have any servants? Manservants, female servants? More importantly, how many of you have jobs that demand that you be employed on a Sunday? The details of the third commandment in Exodus 20 clearly refers to another culture and generation other than our own. So what does this commandment mean for us today, who often have to work on Sundays like I do? The commandment teaches us about the importance of rest and community worship. That is, there needs to be a period of time for your body, your mind, and your spirit to truly rest. Also, we as Christians need time to focus on God's good book, the Bible. We need to come together as a community to listen to His word together, to pray together, to sing together, to commune together, to worship together, to be together in the Spirit of Christ. The fourth commandment: honor your father and mother so it may be well with you. Yes, it is true, God sometimes rules our world directly, like when He causes fair weather or tornadoes. But at other times, He gives authority to people. Your parents are and were the authority closest to you. God loves, protects, and cares for you through them. Due to this fact, God tells us that it's good to honor and obey your parents. Yet, in ever-widening circles, God does send more representatives into our lives: grandparents, aunts, uncles, pastors, employers, teachers, who have a special kind of authority over us. But it doesn't stop there. God also gives government leaders some of His power to rule people. As St. Paul says in Romans, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Unfortunately, due to sin, we still have conflicts and want to rebel against our leaders. Let us pray that God's forgiving love will lead us to honor and obey His representatives. The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. Four words, but so much complexity. How do these words apply to our society today when abortions are more common than births, when wars become nuclear and hundreds of thousands are killed, when 54,000 men were killed in one battle during the Civil War, which was anything but civil, when the United States has far more people in prison for murder than any other modern nation? The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What does this commandment mean for us today when 90% of young people live together before marriage? Where parents and grandparents often can't say anything about living arrangements to their children or their grandchildren without alienating or losing contact with them? What does this commandment mean when people have access to the pill the morning after? What are the sexual boundaries to be in this sexually stimulated world where almost all advertising sells some part of the human body? The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. Is this commandment about shoplifting? Almost everyone knows that robbing banks, burglarizing homes, picking pockets, and stealing cars are sins against this commandment. God also wants us to know that any unfairness, cheating, or dishonesty for personal gain is equally wrong. When we take anything from anyone in an underhanded way, we place a higher value on ourselves and what we want than in our own desires than upon the will of our Almighty God and the welfare of our neighbor. The eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do we human beings still have problems with gossiping and spreading false rumors about other people? The key is love. Love defends when others accuse. Love speaks kindly when others find fault. Love speaks positively when others speak negatively. Love looks for an explanation in the face of suggested wrong. Love is silent when there's not a clear good thing to say. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. The tenth commandment, you should not covet your neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his cattle, or anything that is your neighbor's. I have a question for you. Is it always a sin to want something? Certainly not. God gives many examples that show that it's just fine to want things that are God-pleasing. As a matter of fact, Jesus even told us to ask for things that we need. Yet the dividing line between wholesome desire and coveting is not always easy to see. To see it perfectly, you would have to look into the heart, because that's where the difference begins. The godly heart seeks only those things that do not harm our love for God or the welfare of others. Possessions like cars, homes, clothing, boats, vacations, cabins, and lifestyles can often be sticking points. Unfortunately, we are taught to be envious at such an early age. What I'm suggesting to you today is that every generation in every culture needs to freshly apply these 10 commandments to their own situation and wrestle with what the meaning of the commandments are for our daily lives. To be honest, it's not easy to do this. So let's move on to the New Testament. How does Jesus handle these 10 commandments? In the first five books of the Bible, which are called the Law, there are more than 600 laws, rules, and regulations for human society. But Jesus seems to ignore a lot of these rules and laws and regulations. Instead, we find Jesus highlighting only two laws in a special and sacred way. Jesus said that there are two commandments, and the whole Old Testament and the prophets rested on these two. Without doing the sacred commandments, the whole Old Testament was worthless. The first commandment was this, quoting from Deuteronomy 6, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and greatest commandment, Jesus said. In this commandment, Jesus invites us to love not only our husband, our wife, our children, our grandchildren, our family, our friends, our neighbors. More than that, Jesus invites us to love God, who is the source of all life. We are invited to love God, not just a little bit, but with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. With Jesus, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second like it, Jesus quotes from Leviticus 19, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That is, just as you look after your own self-interest in life, you are to work for the benefit of your neighbor as you would work for the benefit of yourself. Jesus said, "Do these and you shall live." Do these and you will understand what it means to find life. You see, happiness in life consists of both loving God and your fellow human beings. Years have gone by, and I have discovered that by giving us these two great commandments, Jesus definitely did not nullify those 10 words, those 10 commandments. That is, human nature has not changed in the past, and my own human nature has not changed since my birth. For me personally, I know that I'm attracted to other gods around me and within me more than the true God at times. I have trouble with language. Yes, as a pastor, I say things I shouldn't. At times I'm too busy, not just to worship, but to rest in the Lord as I should. I don't always respect authorities the way I should. I don't kill that much, but I kill with my tongue and my anger. I still do almost nothing for the poor in the world, even when I'm so comparably rich compared to the poorest of the poor. I still gossip and still pass on harmful rumors. I covet other people's possessions. Your pastor's bad, isn't he? In other words, knowing me and knowing other human beings, we still need the Ten Commandments. God's law for human community. Even after 3,400 years of human history, I need those laws as much today as the human race did all those years ago. But thanks be to God, He has done something about it. Because even though the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.